All right, let's imagine something here.
Okay.
You're on a jury
Okay.
in Tulsa, Oklahoma,
Right.
and you're trying to figure out where this case should be tried, but it gets kind of tricky. The perpetrator's Native American.
Okay.
The victim isn't, and the crime happened on what everyone always thought was just Oklahoma state land.
Right.
But it turns out it used to be part of the Muscogee Creek Nation Reservation.
Yeah.
So now what? State or federal court?
Yeah.
It's a lot more complicated than it sounds,
It
right?
is, and it all goes back to the Supreme Court case, McGirt v. Oklahoma.
Okay, so that's what we're diving deep on today, this 2020 ruling that like basically turned Oklahoma's legal system upside down.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the aftershocks are still being felt today.
So fill me in here.
Yeah.
What exactly is it about this case that makes it so groundbreaking? I know it has to do with the Creek Nation Reservation,
Right.
but I thought that was officially dissolved like ages ago.
Well, see, that's what makes the McGirt ruling so surprising. It reaffirmed that those reservation boundaries, the ones that were set back in the 1800s, they were never actually dissolved by Congress.
Wait, so hold on. You're telling me a reservation can just exist, like, even after over a century of basically being governed by the state and having all this land allotted and stuff? How is that even possible?
Well, think of reservations like these legal islands inside states.
Okay.
The state might have practical control over a lot of things,
Right.
but those islands still ultimately belong to the tribes according to federal law.
Okay.
And what makes McGirt so important is this idea of explicit congressional action.
Explicit.
Yeah, like they have to clearly say it.
Got it.
Justice Gorsuch, he wrote the majority opinion, and he basically argued that just because Congress allowed stuff like individual land allotments or state jurisdiction in some areas, that doesn't automatically mean they wanted to completely wipe out the
So
reservation.
Congress has to be super specific if they want to get rid of a reservation.
Exactly. If there's any ambiguity at all, the courts are going to side with the tribe.
Huh. So it's like reservation's a reservation until Congress says otherwise, kind of thing.
That's actually a direct quote from Gorsuch's opinion.
Huh.
And
Yeah.
that idea, it really shook things up, not just in Oklahoma, but potentially for the whole country.
Okay. I'm starting to see why lawyers and legal scholars everywhere are still buzzing about this, but I'd imagine a ruling this big had some pushback.
Oh, absolutely.
What did the dissenting opinions say? What were their issues with it?
Well, you had Chief Justice Roberts, for one. He argued that the majority's interpretation was going to throw Oklahoma's government into chaos.
Understandably. I mean, they've been operating under the assumption that this land was part of the state for like 100 years.
Exactly. It'd be a huge logistical headache to reorganize everything based on a century-old treaty.
Yeah, no kidding. And what about the other justices?
Well, then you have Justice Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
He took a totally different approach. He argued that because of some procedural things with how McGirt's case went through the Oklahoma courts, the Supreme Court shouldn't have even heard it in the first place.
Wow. So we've got Gorsuch focused on like the letter of the law, Roberts on the practicality of it all, and Thomas on the legal technicalities.
A lot to consider, right?
Definitely a lot to unpack. But before we get too deep into those different viewpoints, so I rewind a bit. Who exactly is this Jimsy McGirt guy? And how did his case even lead to this whole monumental ruling?
So McGirt was a member of the Seminole Nation convicted back in 1997 for sex crimes.
Okay.
And these crimes happened within the historical boundaries of the Creek Nation on land that, like, everyone at the time thought was under Oklahoma's jurisdiction.
And his appeal focused on the Major Crimes Act. I'm vaguely familiar with that one.
Right, because the crime happened on what the Supreme Court later said was federal territory.
Due to the whole reservation thing.
Exactly. Oklahoma couldn't actually try him. The Major Crimes Act says that certain serious crimes by Native Americans on Indian country have to be prosecuted federally, not by the state.
Ah, so McGirt's argument was basically, hey, you can't put me on trial here because this happened on a reservation. That's federal jurisdiction.
Pretty much. And the Supreme Court agreed with him.
Wow. So what happened to McGirt after the Supreme Court overturned his conviction?
Well, he was retried in federal court, found guilty again, and sentenced to life in prison. But his case set this
That
precedent.
had a ripple effect.
Big time. Huge swaths of eastern Oklahoma, including Tulsa,
Wow.
were suddenly reclassified as Indian country.
So, like, thousands of convictions, past and present, suddenly under a whole different jurisdiction.
Yeah, it was a logistical nightmare for the state. They had to figure out what to do with all these cases that were now potentially under tribal or federal
Oh,
jurisdiction.
man. Talk about legal earthquake.
It was a big one. Yeah, it really was. So, did this mean like everyone convicted in state court before McGirt could just, like, automatically appeal.
Right. Like, was it a total free-for-all?
Not exactly, but there were definitely a ton of appeals. Like, over 1,000 convictions were challenged based on McGirt, and a lot of those cases had to be retried in either federal or tribal courts.
Wow. So this wasn't just some theoretical legal debate. It really had a direct impact on people's lives.
Oh, absolutely. It forced Oklahoma to really confront its history and its relationship with all the tribal nations within its borders.
It's like this whole thing just kind of blew open this can of worms about jurisdiction and sovereignty and what it actually means to uphold treaty obligations.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And that's where things get even trickier.
Okay. So McGirt says the Creek Reservation still exists, right?
Right.
So crimes by Native Americans on that land fall under federal jurisdiction.
Yeah.
Got it. What about crimes committed by non-natives against Native Americans? Does Oklahoma still have any say in those situations?
That's a really good question. And it actually leads us to another important case, Oklahoma v. Castro Huerta, decided in 2022.
Okay, so this one wasn't about whether the perpetrator was Native American, but whether the victim was.
Exactly. It involved a non-native man who committed a crime against a Native American child on tribal land.
And did the Supreme Court side with Oklahoma in that case? Did they say the state had jurisdiction?
Kinda. They ruled that states have what's called concurrent jurisdiction with the federal government when it comes to crimes by non-natives against natives on tribal land.
Concurrent jurisdiction. What's that?
Think of it like having overlapping police patrols. You might have both city and state police officers patrolling the same area, both with the authority to enforce the law.
Okay. So it's not as straightforward as saying only tribal or federal courts can handle cases on reservations.
Right. It depends on who did what and to whom.
Right. Who committed the crime and who the victim is.
Exactly. Castro Huerta kind of narrowed the scope of McGirt in some ways, but it didn't overturn that core holding that the Creek Reservation still exists.
Gotcha. It's like McGirt drew this line in the sand, and then Castro Huerta came along and maybe blurred it a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And what's interesting is that both of these cases really highlight just how much gray area there is when it comes to tribal jurisdiction.
It's like a giant legal puzzle.
It really is. It's not always clear who has the authority to prosecute, and these issues often end up being battled out in court.
So for lawyers who specialize in this area of law, McGirt and Castro Huerta are like required reading, right?
Oh, absolutely. Essential. And what McGirt really emphasized is the importance of carefully reading and understanding the law.
Like every word matters.
Every word, every comma. Every little detail in these treaties and laws can have huge consequences.
That's wild. So it's not just about understanding the current case law, but also the historical context and this whole concept of tribal sovereignty.
Exactly. And for law students especially, McGirt is a perfect example of how history isn't just something you read about in textbooks.
Right. It has real-world implications.
It's a living doctrine with very real consequences for people and communities.
Okay. So we've talked about how McGirt rocked Oklahoma's legal system and sparked all these complex debates about jurisdiction. But did McGirt's impact stop at Oklahoma's borders? Or did it have broader implications for other tribal nations across the U.S.?
Yeah.
Did it shake things up beyond Oklahoma? I mean, this whole thing with the Creek Nation Reservation, did it make other tribes think, hey, what about us?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Think about it. If the Creek Nation's reservation was never officially dissolved, what about all those other reservations, the hundreds of other tribes out there?
Right.
The McGirt ruling basically sparked this wave of legal analysis. Tribes are now looking back at their own treaties and agreements and wondering, could McGirt be a model for us? Can we reaffirm our own sovereignty?
And potentially even reclaim some land that was lost.
Exactly. And it goes beyond just land, too. McGirt could really shift the balance of power when it comes to law enforcement, taxation, natural resource management. All sorts of things.
So if other tribes successfully assert their jurisdiction based on this McGirt precedent, we could see some pretty major changes across the country.
Absolutely. Yeah. It could fundamentally change the relationship between tribal nation states and the federal government. It's a big deal.
Yeah. It's like McGirt was this one domino that fell.
Yeah.
And now we're waiting to see how many others it's going to knock over.
It's a really fascinating time to be watching this all unfold. The conversation about tribal sovereignty and treaty rights is more active now than it's been in decades.
Okay, so let's recap for our listeners who maybe just tuned in.
Yeah.
The McGirt case basically boils down to this. The Supreme Court said the Muscogee Creek Nation Reservation in Oklahoma, it still exists.
Right.
Because Congress never explicitly dissolved it.
Right.
And this has huge implications for criminal jurisdiction in that state.
Big time. A lot of crimes that used to be handled by the state are now under federal or tribal authority.
And, of course, we can't forget those later cases like Oklahoma v. Castro Huerta. Mm. They added some wrinkles to the whole thing. Mm. But that core principle from McGirt, that Congress has to be super specific when it comes to tribal rights, that's still front and center.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's not going away anytime soon.
All right. So we've covered a lot of ground today, from that one crime in Tulsa all the way to this landmark Supreme Court ruling that could reshape the relationship between tribal nations and the U.S. government. It's a complicated story for sure.
Hmm.
But before we go, I have one last thought to throw out there. Something for all of us to consider.
I'm all ears.
If the courts are now saying that ambiguity in these treaties and laws tends to favor tribal rights,
mm-hmm.
could we be on the verge of like a massive wave of lawsuits with tribes across the country trying to reclaim land or assert more control based on these old agreements?
It's definitely a possibility. And if that happens, it's going to be really interesting to see how it all plays out.
What would it mean for the legal system? For society as a whole? Big question.
Huge questions. And that's exactly what legal experts and policymakers are grappling with right now. The McGirt ruling has opened up this whole new chapter in the story of tribal sovereignty.
And it's a story that's far from over.
Not even close.
Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive. Thanks for walking us through all the twists and turns of McGirt v. Oklahoma. It's clear that this case is much bigger than just a legal precedent. It sparked a really important conversation about the past, present, and future of tribal nations in this country. And as always, we encourage all of you listening to keep digging into these issues and form your own informed opinions. Until next time, keep diving deep.